Welcome to Spark, powered by Harcourt's Best, a podcast devoted to sharing real estate knowledge, brought to you by Harcourt's Academy.
What is the key to career longevity in real estate? In this episode, we talk to Carl Vermeulen, number 21 for Harcourts internationally in 2018. Carl shares with us his belief that providing the highest level of client experience is his primary listing tool. Carl also shares his superpower of grit, determination, and resilience. It's a great pleasure to be speaking with Carl Vermeulen from Harcourts Howick in the eastern beaches of Auckland. Carl, great to have you on the podcast.
Great. Thanks for the opportunity, Tom.
Firstly, I want to wish you a big congratulations. You were the 21st globally for Harcourts around the world in 2018, and you're almost 20 years in the real estate industry. Congratulations.
Yeah, amazing coincidence. One place per year. So I think by the time I'm 70, Cameron better watch out.
Yeah. Obviously, you're doing something well. You know, you're doing something differently that maybe other people aren't doing. So where do you think your superpower comes from? What is it?
I think the one thing that I'm pretty good at, you can summarize in the word grit. And by that, I mean determination, resilience, persistence, you know, the ability to get knocked down and get back up again. I found the industry quite challenging to begin with. I think I quit three times. I found it pushed my comfort zones more than I was comfortable. But over time, you know, you toughen up and you become more resilient, and eventually the knockbacks is a little bit like water off a duck's back. So that's the one thing that I've developed that I think enables me to go forward, where I see other people, if they don't have that, you know, it can be a pivotal point, particularly in your first couple of years, where you get more than your fair share of knockbacks.
Absolutely. And of course, you know, you're still going to get those whatever you stage in your career. Are you handling those knockbacks differently now with all that experience under your belt than you were in the beginning?
Yeah, very much so. I just don't take them personally. You know, I just, we have a word, next. You know, we just on. It's as simple as that. You do your best for people. Some people are going to like you and some are not, irrespective of whether you're genuine and you know what you genuinely think is in their best interest, and you can't control that. So don't be attached to the result. Just move ahead with the process. Be the best you can be and be happy with that.
Absolutely. Well, let's go back to that first sale and that first listing. Tell us about that. Do you remember much about it? Who it was, where it was?
Okay. First sale, I can remember that. I took some buyers out. They were referred to me by my business owner. They were very loyal. I showed them 113 properties. I remember because that was a light bulb moment. Don't work with buyers. We sold them something that I thought, jeepers, I don't even know if this is worth the time. I went out every weekend and I thought, oh, hell, I don't want to do it this way. You know, that was from word go. The first sale, I remember, it took me to get my first listing about 3 months. I would go out in a full suit. I'd drop flyers. I never had the courage to door knock, so I'd drop flyers and I'd talk to people in their front yards and stuff like that. And eventually, someone gave me a chance, and I was eternally grateful for that.
You know, a lot of people in real estate, you know, the first 1, 2, 3 years can be quite tough until it's almost like a light bulb goes off in their head and they just suddenly get it. Did you have that kind of moment early on in your career?
Well, probably, yeah, just that thing where I moved away from the buyer focus to the listing focus pretty early in the piece. I found that, you know, look, there's no guarantee of a paycheck when you work with a buyer, but once you've got a signed listing, you know, you vastly increase your chances. You're not working with one buyer and taking them to 113 properties. You're one property and 113 buyers are coming to you. It's leverage. You know, it just makes more sense.
Well, let's talk a bit about the experience that you provide your buyers and sellers now. You know, Harcourts has a big focus on the client experience, but I think a lot of successful people in real estate have been providing that for pretty much their whole career. What do you take pride in? Like, what are some of the things you think you do really well with your buyers and sellers that, you know, is part of that kind of surprise and delight that comes from a great client experience?
Generally speaking, our primary listing tool is just to try and deliver the highest level of client experience, to look after people to the nth degree, You know, if someone has a request or something, I try to follow up instantly and get back to them immediately, particularly if they're a high-touch client. But we're always looking out for opportunities to go above and beyond. Recently, we sold a property in Howick, and the people were going to a retirement village. They were quite elderly. Come settlement day, they hadn't cleared their garage out, and there is a ton of stuff. And rather than, you know, hold up settlement or things like that, we just ordered a skip. We loaded it ourselves. They didn't even know. We had another one where they were moving up north. They moved, but they couldn't find their cat. We found him. It took us a week. We found him. We drove him up north. And I mean, that, you know, even though they've moved out of area, it's those things that I think people remember, that they see us as a person and not a real estate agent. More, hey, this is someone who genuinely cares, you know. And I think if you can find that, whether it's a lot of little things or one really big thing, that's what makes the difference, in my opinion.
And you can't really do that without knowing your client quite well. You wouldn't know that, you know, that their cat was missing unless they'd actually been close enough and felt comfortable in telling you things like that, even after, you know, that, say, the job was done.
Yeah, look, 100%. You know, for a short period of time in their lives, you're a key pivotal figure. Bridget, who works with me, is going to collect a present. We've sold a property for these people, and the little boy's done something for us, which I'm dying to see what it is, because I remember selling for them about 7 years ago, and he drew this picture of a house for me, and he collects all our business cards, you know, a bit like Pokemon cards. And you don't always realize the impact that you do have in these people's lives. And don't take it for granted. It's not just a job. It's a little bit like a calling.
I think when people think about lead generation, you know, it can be quite difficult early on when you don't have those contacts out there. But it's almost like having a great client experience can be the best form of lead generation, because once you've shown people that you truly care, they're not going to go anywhere else.
If you look after people and, you know, you endeavour to keep in touch, we live, you know, in a village, Howick Village, so you're always running into people. And I mean, the hardest thing is continually remembering their names, you know, 20 years later. And if you become a part of, you know, their social network, their friends through the school, maybe through the church, that you become their preferred agent of choice. And it actually becomes a part of your lifestyle. So our biggest lead generation thing is really just looking after the people to the best of our ability. People, but that I was thinking about it the other day. When I'm, you know, out and about on the road, I'm always popping into dairies, you know, to grab something on the run. And I was thinking, you know, from time to time, I know all the local dairy owners, and there are some that are great. They're friendly. You know, you buy something off them, they wish you a good day. There are others who know your family. They know your kids. I've been invited to their wedding. And do you think if I have the choice, you know, sometimes I'll go 2-3 Ks out of my way just to go to that dairy to say hi, to see how they're going. It's about that longer term game. It's playing the long game. It is saying, hey, this is something I'm going to do for the next 20 years. It's not just about that deal.
Yeah, you're not talking about developing just a business. You've developed a community.
Yeah. It's like you see it with, what is it, CrossFit, join the CrossFit tribe. I just think it'd be really cool, you know, if you felt like these are my people, you know, these are people that I look after and hopefully they look after me. And, you know, I think it is more, people want to feel immersed. They don't want to just feel like they're a transaction.
Yeah, well put. Well, maybe bring it back to just you, Carl. How have you kind of learned and developed your own skills?
When I started, I was quite, how would you say, not confident. You know, I'd been in a factory job, so I hadn't been in a selling environment. And I, you know, it took a lot to kind of develop that courage. I can remember, you know, going to appraisals and I'm literally sweating, or I've got halfway here and it's like suddenly I need to go for a nervous pee because, you know, I'm not going to make it through. So now, honestly, nothing would faze me. But it's developing that skill set. It's becoming more and more confident. It's getting to know people. It's putting you in different environments and different situations so that you know what to do in that situation and how to react. I guess after a while that the hurdles get smaller, kind of thing. I listened to a guy, Matt Steinwade from Australia. I just find him amazing. He has this holistic approach to real estate that I think is just really cool. It's about connection with the people. The biggest thing is more a personal philosophy on life. The thing I love about Harcourts, do the right thing. You know, just if you make a mistake, own up. You know, if something goes wrong, correct it. You know, and just do the right thing by people. If you do that, people are, you know, that they see you for who you are, and they either like you or they don't. And you may not fit. You know, someone who's emotive and empathetic may not fit a personality of, say, an accountant who's more numbers based. But you'll find your niche. You'll find your audience, you'll find the people that you relate to, and they probably relate to similar type of people. So, you know, it's that kind of social proof that builds your business.
But you've got to be genuine, don't you? Because you can't be someone else. You can only be yourself.
Yeah, 100% with that. I think you put your best self forward. And, you know, like sometimes you might be feeling low and you've got to, you know, shake that mood and be onto it. But at the end of the day, you've also got to be upfront, transparent, honest. You know, if you don't think you can achieve what the vendor wants, just tell them honestly. Better to do that than to go down this path where, you know, you're really living a falsehood. You know, you're better off just hit the ground running in the right light and hopefully everyone's on the same page.
Do you adapt your kind of your style slightly depending on the person? So if they are, say, you know, more analytical, that maybe you provide them more data and reports and graphs, for example. So do you adapt yourself a little bit?
Look, for some people, you know, they want short, sharp responses. Other people, they want to sit down and have a coffee and you know, and you can talk an hour about life before you even get to real estate. I do. I try to, you know, mirror them and you know, so that we relate on a better level kind of thing. But it's more about I think if you are thinking on the same level or you have that connection, it's easier to get from A to B. You know, some people just want the data and that, you know, they just want the facts and phone call, and other people that, you know, it's actually just knowing that they trust you. So yeah, you have to be a little bit like a chameleon, but don't give up who you are. And the other thing that I do is I have a team of male and female. And sometimes, you know, if it's a Chinese client, I might take James from my team who speaks Mandarin. If it's someone who's really chatty, I might go with Bridget who's really chatty. And yeah,
so the benefit of having a team, you've got a group of people and they can all connect on different levels, can't they?
Yeah, very much so. I wouldn't underestimate the power of a man and a woman going in, because you, whichever way you go, you're going to probably make a connection more so than, say, two guys going in, you know, where maybe a similar perspective. So, yeah, we try to find that common ground, definitely.
Yeah, good to hear. Well, thinking back about your illustrious career, is there anything that you do differently? Like, is there anything you think, oh, if I'd started doing this a bit earlier, maybe, you know, I might be even more successful today than I was? Any kind of career boosters that you can think of that you might have could have given yourself as a career advice back in the beginning?
Look, I think bear in mind that it's a people business. The houses are our stock and trade, but it's about people. I found when I started, I would get caught up in the negatives. You know, I'd do my level best to go and do a presentation, and I'm willing to work. You know, I work 80-hour weeks. I really put my heart and soul into it, and I couldn't understand why they wouldn't list with me. I would take it internally. Now I just realize, hey, if something doesn't work, don't take it personally. Just move on and, you know, look for the next opportunity. And I think someone likened this to me in a negotiation, who has the most power? You know, say a boy and a girl, a young couple. It's one who's prepared to walk away. They have all the power. And so I just try to not get attached to the result. And if I get the business, well and good. If I don't, well and good. You know, I don't give it a second thought anymore. While I do my level best, I put my heart and soul into it. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. And I think it's actually the detachment that people perceive, okay, this guy, you know, he's not desperate for my business. He's not hounding me. He's putting forward his case and leaving it for us to decide. So I think that works for me. It may be different for other people.
Definitely. Well, it's a bit like asking if someone's got a favorite child. Do you have any like favorite transactions or favorite clients or, you know, people that you just think, you know, that's why I do it? And any stories you could tell us around anything like that?
I do. I remember I had a house for some people, and they'd been on, when I was starting out, I was kind of bound up in the statistics, and I'd had 100% clearance on every property I'd sold that year. And people came to me and they said, hey, we've been on with another company for 6 months, and we're getting a bit desperate, and I was weighing up whether I took it on because I didn't want to ruin my average kind of thing.
Right, red flags, yeah.
Yeah, and my boss, you know, had a word to me, and he said, hey, you've got to take it on to actually get paid. So he had a quiet word, and it what I didn't know at the time, they were 2 weeks away from mortgagee, which in our area is very, very rare, and we couldn't even get them into our local publications. We didn't have enough time, to get them running. I think from memory, they were on at 419. We ran some pretty hard hitting ads, which I normally don't do, but we needed a sense of urgency. We got an offer, I think it was 410 or something. On the first weekend, they didn't take the chance. They didn't want to negotiate it. They just took it. And it was an awesome feeling to know. I mean, they avoided mortgagee, but the big thing for me, you know, I actually made a really big difference in their life, and that was the cool thing. You know, it wasn't just, hey, they're moving on. I've actually, you know, I've saved them from something. You know, I've done some. I thought I did something great, and it made me really proud. And it's things like that where, you know, you can enable people to move to their dream home or to move out of the big city to a rural lifestyle so that they have a better life for their kids, for example. You know, those things, I just think, wow, that's satisfaction.
Because you're not looking at these people as clients, you're looking at them as people with lives and dreams and futures.
Very much so. That, you know, we're kind of like this conduit to take them from A to B. And you know, sometimes it's a good move, and sometimes, you know, we get a lot of separations and divorces, and my heart goes out to them, you know. But then you have to say, okay, look, you know, how can we just make the process as easy as possible? You know, you can always make a difference. You just got to look for the silver lining in the situation.
Absolutely. And you're in a position where even if, you know, things aren't going well in other parts of their lives, at least you can make the real estate transaction as seamless, easy, and they can just get on with life after that, can't they?
Yeah, look, 100%. It is a stressful process, and I think often unnecessarily so. I think sometimes it, you know, it's the approach of the agent that can make it stressful. You know, I always think, hey, look, this is their house. It's their choice. I'm not going to tell them, hey, you know, you have to take this offer. It's up to you. You're an adult. It's right for you. It's not right for you. I don't have any attachment to the result. I just want what's best for you. And I think a previous business owner told me that you put the people first. You know, the dollars will follow. The dollars are a byproduct of who you are and how you conduct your business.
Absolutely. Carl, I couldn't put it any better myself. Thank you so much for your time today. It's been great speaking to you.
That's awesome. Thanks so much, Tim. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to the Spark Podcast, brought to you by Harcourt's Academy. If you liked what you heard, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, or leave a review. And remember, knowledge is power. Knowledge shared is power multiplied.